Thou hast been favourable, Lord, to thy beloved land, Jacob's captivity. Thou hast recalled with mighty hand. Psalm 85. Psalm for today is the Psalm 130. Let us read these few verses as we come to seek the Lord in prayer. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Let us pray. While we praise thee, gracious God, that we can call out unto thee in prayer, whether we find ourselves in the depths, as the psalmist here did, or whether our circumstances could be described differently, maybe in the heights of blessing, we can still cry to the Lord. We can still draw near to the throne of grace and find acceptance with our God through Christ, the Redeemer and Mediator. We pray that your ears will be attentive to the voice of our supplications this day, that the Lord will come among us in the fullness of his power, that he will prepare our hearts for this season of worship. As we gather here, we are very conscious of our need of the Lord, Very conscious too of our own need when we think of our shortcomings and sins, which are many. We therefore seek thee through the blood of Christ this day. We come for cleansing. We come that thou wouldst deal with our sin, that thou wouldst wash us afresh from our sin. We pray that thou wilt give us clean hands and pure hearts today as we assemble here in God's house. Open a channel of blessing between us and heaven. May the presence of God fill this room in which we meet. We pray that we will hear from heaven today, that the voice of God will be discernible throughout this meeting. We thank thee for your word. We thank thee for the psalm that we have sung together. We thank thee for subsequent hymns that will be sung. And we thank thee for your word that will be opened and presented to this congregation. Lord, it is our longing of heart that God himself will come among us in every part of this worship time and help us to focus upon thee. Take away the distractions. Take from us, Lord, the wandering mind that so easily could be captivated upon many other things of lesser importance. Bring every thought into subjection that we might think upon the Lord today and that we might worship thee aright. We pray for the mission. We thank thee for all the preparation that has gone into this time, the physical and the spiritual preparation. We thank thee for beautiful days to erect the tent. We thank thee for a team of workers who came to do that work. We thank thee too for the outreach team that came to distribute the leaflets and for those who have been working in the background, giving out the invitations by word of mouth and also the leaflets. And Lord, in a very real sense, we know that we can say that all things are now ready. We have sought to prepare the way, and now we cry for that visitation of God, that the Lord will come, that he will put seal to the preaching of the word in this next fortnight. Remember the opening of the mission this afternoon, the first assembly of a crowd of people to listen to your word as far as the mission is concerned. Lord, visit us with the Spirit of God. We pray that even early in this mission thou will give to us, as we were thinking about this morning, those waters to swim in. We think of that picture presented in Ezekiel 47, that great gush of waters that came from the temple, and we know that Christ is the great temple, and from him there is everything that we need, everything we need certainly for this mission. And we pray that we will know something of the waters increasing this week. We think of the day of Pentecost when it came, and the waters of God undoubtedly that were there, and how that in a very short period of time they went from their ankles to their knees to their loins to the waters to swim in. God grant that this mission will have something of that spiritual blessing too. Bring in the unconverted. We pray for our town and district. We pray very especially for the Glebe side and those that live in Trinity Drive. Lord, we thank thee for many who have promised to come, and we do look for those promises to be fulfilled even in the early part of the mission, that they'll not keep putting it off and off until the second week or to the last day. But Lord, from today onwards, may there be the unconverted gathering in, and bless your word. Help me to preach it. Lord, I confess my human weakness, but I cry to thee for power from on high, just like the power came on the day that we will be thinking about later in the message, and anointed those apostles and those that gather in the place of prayer, and Peter especially, with that special anointing to go out into the streets of Jerusalem and preach. Lord, I cry in Jesus' name for that same anointing to come upon me, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Make it a saving time. Make it a blessed time. May the presence of God be known in this time. We commit again to thee the sick of the church. All the names in the prayer list, remember them each one, we do pray.
perfect that which concerns them, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
166, let's turn to this hymn as we further worship the Lord in our singing. We sang it this morning at the early time of prayer, and we want to sing it now in this time of worship. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. We know that the Comforter has come. He has come with great power and in greater measures than before the day of Pentecost. But we want to be able to say it in truth today and in the mission that the Comforter has come, the blessed Holy Spirit sent down from on high. We'll stand to sing this lovely hymn.
Thank you.
we say today hallelujah to that. I'm so glad to know that the Comforter, the promised Holy Ghost, has come. And we're looking much to the Lord in these days for his moving in the mission time. We have felt something of the blessing already in preparation. We've had a very good week, even in the erecting of the tent and the good crowd that came to do that. Let me welcome you to God's house in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Good to see all that are here and those that are listening in on sermon audio. We have visitors from Port Lanone. We welcome them very especially. And I see Kate and five young people, children in with her. You know, I have to tell you this, Kate, that there was a red minivan went by the window. We were in there praying. We hadn't started to pray. And it went by the window. And it was a strange vehicle to me. And we're just saying, I wonder who that is. And as I looked at it, I said, it didn't seem to be full. But then, of course, there were shorter people maybe in it. And then we're glad to know that you're here today worshipping with us. Trust the Lord will bless you, especially those that are visiting with us. Now, the mission begins that has been long planned for. It begins at 3:30 this afternoon, Trinity Drive. Hope you all know where that is. So if you go down the road, take left into John Street, go past the Spar, take right, that's Trinity Drive, just in case you're a stranger or you're listening in and you're not sure where to go. It's not far away, it's just in this large housing estate behind us. The prayer time is 3 o'clock. We have a portacabin there and we will get in there as many as possible. There'll be some seats, so those of us that are young can stand, and anyone that needs to sit, older folks or anyone else that needs to sit, then there'll be seats for you. But we want the place to be full of praying people. We have given emphasis to the importance of prayer as we look to the Lord for the manifestation of his power. And we'll not have it without prayer, earnest prayer that is offered by earnest Christians seeking God at the throne of grace. So these prayer meetings are essential over the next couple of weeks. Please plan to be there if you can. We want to keep right with our neighbours, so just be careful about the parking. We have the use of the car park opposite the tent in the Roddens, and there'll be men there to guide you. We don't want you to park down where the Roddens care home is. Those spaces down there are reserved for those visiting at the care home. But there'll be men there to direct you anyhow. We can fill all the other ones, and down by the library there's another little car park there. You could park at the Spar and walk. Hopefully it'll not be raining. Maybe it will. Bring your umbrella with you. It's in a tent. Do I need to remind you that it could be a little cooler than a church building? There'll be more drafts there. So we're encouraging just to make sure you've got suitable clothing on. We have heat, and I'm told the heat is excellent. And we hope to keep that on during the mission, if it's not too noisy. I don't think it is. So back to the car parking. We don't want to block any drives. I was told to make sure and say that. Or even round the square, don't be parking where neighbours are going to have difficulty getting out of their driveway. Keep that in mind, please. This afternoon, our young people will be singing, the first singers at the mission, the youth choir. Pray for them as they participate. Remember us as we preach the word. And remember also there's no evening service at 7. Our evening service will be the mission in the afternoon. There is a retiring offering for the school. There's 5 Sundays in this month. And when that happens, the 4th one is a retiring offering for the school. You've got to remember this morning as you leave, because we have no evening service. The parent and toddlers group recommences in the morning, Monday morning at 10 o'clock. Then Monday to Friday, the mission continues each night at 7:45. Remember that, the slightly earlier time, and the prayer meetings therefore at 7:15. The singers this week, tomorrow night, Christine and Moira are down. Pray for Moira that she'll maybe be strong enough. If she's not, well, we'll understand that. Tuesday night, Melanie Ray. Wednesday night, the Word of Truth. Thursday night, Sarah Moffat. Friday night, Rebecca Cubitt. And a special testimony on Friday night
from one of our elders, Mervyn Storey. I believe Mervyn's well known in the Glebe side, and a good testimony to have there. We have the rota for the guarding of the tent. There might be just one or two places to fill in there, and the rota for the car park attendance, if you can see Samuel about that. And then we will need a team for dismantling the tent the day after it's over, on Monday the 7th of October. This coming Saturday, the Youth Council has their annual fun and fellowship evening in Meadowbank Sports Arena in Macrofelt at 6:30, buses leaving at 5:30. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting at 8, Sabbath school 10:45, the Bible class at 11, the worship service 12:00, and our tent mission service at 3:30, preceded by the time of prayer. I want to thank those sincerely who erected the tent and made it ready for the gospel mission. There's a lot of work, as you can appreciate, going on in the background. Those that came in with equipment, with their vehicles to do all the heavy lifting and all that kind of thing, we want to thank you in the Saviour's name. There is a petition regarding abortion in Northern Ireland that has been sent to us from an organisation. I believe we can support this, and it's really urging the Democratic Unionist Party to save the lives of our unborn babies. So this will be going to them to encourage them to speak out at this particular time. There are individual ones that you can fill in and send away, or there's these collective ones you can fill in. But it is something that we need to take our stand on in these days in whatever way we can. Could I just mention also that the Let the Bible Speak magazine is here. It's not on the announcements, but it's at the door. There's a copy for every family as you leave the house of God today. I want to acknowledge gifts that we have received, a very generous gift towards the new sofas out in the fellowship area of £500, a gift towards the Roma and the Poor Kids of Moldovanoe of £100, and shoebox appeal gifts of £20 and £25. Thank you. In the Lord's name. There is a congregation needed for recordings in connection with Let the Bible Speak. This will be in Lurgan on Monday the 11th of November. We're giving you good notice about this. A small number for 7 o'clock and then the greater, the usual number for 7:30. So there may be some can come earlier and those that can travel half an hour later. But we'll keep you posted about that. Do remember the sick of the church. They're there before you in the announcement sheet. Adding to that number that have been on the announcement sheet is Raymond Stevenson. Raymond was there on Friday morning to help a little bit, but he took on well, was brought to the hospital, and he had a serious infection, and he's still in the hospital trying to get that cleared up. So as you pray for the sick that are connected to us, do remember him in prayer, please. Just one other announcement. And it's to do with our young people at university in Belfast. We've been asked to announce this over the next couple of Lord's Days. University students meeting that is held in Tyndale Free Presbyterian Church. And just let me get to the detail here. It's in the last paragraph. The first gathering commences on Thursday the 26th of September. Now, it's usually on a Wednesday night. But this one will be Thursday the 26th, and it is Meet the Freshers Game and Supper Night, where old and new students can meet and get to know each other. The meetings then officially commence on Wednesday the 2nd of October at 8 o'clock. So this coming Thursday, the 1st, and then the Wednesdays thereafter from the 2nd of October, and that comes from the Reverend Paul Foster, who is the chaplain responsible for these meetings. We will sing together our offering hymn 644. We are pressed for time today, so I'll not go to the door. That will allow you to get out quickly, get home, get something to eat, and back for the prayer meeting in the tent mission. We'll sing this hymn together, 644. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Let the Bible Speak calendars are also available for 2020. So they're at the door. I think the price is £3 each. Some of you like to get a calendar and support the ministry. All the proceeds go to Let the Bible Speak. And they're here early. If you have any posting to do across the waters, then you can get your copy early and send it away. We remind ourselves in this hymn that revival comes from God Himself, and acknowledging that, the hymn writer prays in the hymn, "Send a revival, start the work in me." And I trust that you will pray that prayer. You're a child of God, and you realize the need of our land, but narrowing it down to your life, my life, you sense and feel that need personally, the dearth within. It's so easy to become cold at heart when it comes to the things of God, and it's not God's will that we're that way. The Lord wants us to be on fire for Him, energetic, enthusiastic in His work. We believe that is the mind and the will of God. The church at Ephesus was condemned for leaving the first love. And if that is the case, then it's possible by the grace of God to live in the first love and to be in that place where God wants us to be. So let's pray, start the work in me, right in my heart. These Sabbath mornings we have been endeavouring to prepare our hearts for the mission. We've been thinking about the great work that was done on the day of Pentecost and thereafter, and we've been bringing messages about that. We need another Pentecost in the sense of the coming of the Spirit of God with power and might, and I trust that you're praying about that. We looked at the preciousness of Christ. We've looked at the promise of the Holy Ghost, and we took time to think about the pathway to blessing. And the pathway, of course, was prayer. Now we want to come to Acts chapter 2 and think about the pouring out of the Spirit of God, and thinking about the consequences of that. What happened when the Spirit of God was poured out? And when we come to the message, you will see that there are two main points, and probably just the first point will be brought to your attention today, and that is to do with revival. And we've sung about revival, and there was a great move of God among the people of the Lord when the Spirit of the Lord was poured out. You will see from the notes that we've given to you on the back of the announcement sheet that we're reading from Acts chapter 2, and in particular the opening verses and the closing verses of the chapter. But I'm going to read just the opening four verses for now. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." Here's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The church is once again together. They are in one place, and they are in one accord, and that's important. They have been waiting in obedience to Christ for 10 days. During that time, the church met together in the upper room to pray unto the Lord, to undoubtedly plead the promise of God. Jesus had commanded them to wait for the promise of the Father, told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they would be endued with power from on high, and that's what they did. And I see these men and women making their way through the streets of Jerusalem to the upper room each day for 10 days to seek the face of God earnestly, fervently, and expectantly. Christ was precious in those days. We have emphasized that already. The disciples were taken up with his passion showed himself alive. He showed them, you remember, in the resurrection days, his hands and his feet, the marks of the cross. They were taken up with his glorious resurrection that Jesus was alive, and also his ascension into glory and his exaltation in heaven at the right hand of the Father, where he prayed and interceded on behalf of his people, and then, of course, the consummation of all things, that this same Jesus would come in like fashion as they had seen him go into heaven. We took a couple of weeks to think about the pathway to blessing, which was prayer, and we looked at the important elements of true prayer, prayer that brings down the blessing of God. We thought about the place, we thought about the participants, we thought about the perseverance and the partnership, and for 10 days they waited. For 10 days they tarried, they pleaded, they expected. They sought God earnestly with fervent, believing, united prayer. And now, here in chapter 2, the day of Pentecost has fully come. This was the day promised. This was the day awaited for. This was the purpose of God to visit his church with Holy Ghost power and set his people on fire, who in turn would go out and burn ablaze for God through the city of Jerusalem as they preach Christ unto the people. It's a day never to be forgotten. A day when God came down. A day when the Spirit visited the city in a most remarkable fashion. A day when the people of God were filled with power to present the gospel. A day when the multitudes were converted to 3,000 to 5,000, and subsequently thereafter, every day sinners being converted, souls being added to the church. And as a result, two major things happened directly as a result of the descent of the Holy Spirit. For this is his work. There was the revival of the saints, and that's what we're going to major on this morning. And then there was the regeneration of sinners. And this is what we desire. This is what we long for in this church. This is what we long for at the mission time. And I believe it is the greatest need of the hour for the Spirit of God to come in like fashion and fill his people with his mighty power. So we're going to think about what happened on the day of Pentecost, this pouring forth of the Spirit. And we're going to major on this great revival that the opening verses of chapter 2 tells us about, and of course thereafter, but thinking of these opening verses especially. It was now 10 days since Jesus ascended to glory. And during this time, the disciples have met together in the upper room to pray, to tarry in obedience to Christ. The original disciples were not strangers to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. They saw it continually in the life and the ministry, in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, undoubtedly, they knew something of the work of the Spirit in their own lives from the day that they were called, when the Lord called them to be his apostles, to be his disciples, and to follow him. The Lord, the night before he was crucified, in the upper room where they celebrated the Passover and where he instituted the Lord's Supper, he promised a special coming of the Spirit of God. In John chapter 14 and verse 15 to 18 especially. 50 days later, this promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit descended in mighty power where the believers were all with one accord in one place. The coming of the Holy Spirit in such a fashion is a sovereign work of God. He comes as he will, according to his own appointments. But we should remind ourselves that he came in answer to prayer. He came and he visited these people who were praying. And that is the mind of God, who gives the Holy Spirit to them that ask. Here on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit comes upon God's people in a prayer meeting. And it's good to remind ourselves of that, where the Spirit came. Because it ought to be a great encouragement to God's people to be at the prayer meeting. This is where the Lord came in such mighty power, and not therefore to be an absentee. Though he can come at any time and in any place, it was the prayer meeting that he visited. The Spirit of God came upon the assembled congregation in the city of Caesarea later on in the history here, when Peter preached to Cornelius and his friends, to that Gentile congregation. And the thought was, he came as he did at the first, as he came down to this prayer meeting, so he visited the Gentiles at that time. And so we want to think about, under this general thought here, the revival of the saints, we want to think about the descent of the Spirit. We want to think about how he came. He came suddenly. You want to mark that word here in the scriptures in verse 2. Then, and suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. Often this word is used in connection with the mighty doings of God. When revival comes, when God does something that is out of the ordinary, so often this word is used. And I pray that God will come suddenly, one of these Sabbath days perhaps, as we gather in this building and visit his church with extraordinary life and power, or that he might be pleased to come suddenly to the mission, maybe this afternoon, maybe one night this week, when the power of God will be felt. When the great revival came to the land of Wales in 1904, the historians tell us that it was a sudden move of God. One of the records describe it as follows. It was 1904. All Wales was aflame. The nation had drifted far from God. The spiritual conditions indeed were low. Church attendance was poor. And sin abounded on every side. Suddenly, like an unexpected tornado, the Spirit of God swept over the land. The churches were so crowded that multitudes were unable to get in. Meetings lasted from 10 in the morning until 12 at night. Some people get a bit fidgety after the hour. But when the Spirit of God comes, time doesn't really matter so much. You're not looking at your watch, and you're not wondering about your dinner, and not wondering about anything else. When God comes down, these meetings lasted all day. And it says nothing had ever come over Wales with such far-reaching results. In 5 weeks, 20,000 people joined the churches. You know, there's times whenever God steps into a person's life, suddenly, an individual's life, unexpectedly, without warning, even in his mighty conversion work. Might be good just to think about that for a moment as we think of the sudden moves of God. This is what happened, as you know, to Saul of Tarsus. The word suddenly is used in his history in Acts chapter 9 and there at the third verse. And as he journeyed, and you know the work that he was engaged in, you know where he was going that day, you know why he was making his journey to Damascus, to arrest Christians, to put them in prison, and in all likelihood put them to death as well. And as he journeyed, the Bible says here in verse 3 of Acts chapter 9, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. And the great conversion of Saul of Tarsus takes place. God stepping suddenly into his life. A man might be far away from God, and you take encouragement from this, thinking about the mission. A man might be far from God. He might even be going around doing the devil's work and business. He might be journeying in the opposite direction. he might have no thought of being saved. Because that Saul of Tarsus, the last thing on his mind that day, journeying to Damascus, was becoming a Christian. He was persecuting Christians. And yet he himself becomes a Christian as God steps into his life, suddenly brings him to his knees. And I pray that God will do that. I pray that God will do that to you. Maybe you're sitting in this church building today and you're not saved. And you've come to church and you've no thought of being saved. And the last thing on your mind is becoming a Christian, even this morning hour. And yet suddenly God can step into your life and save you and change your life. He did it with Saul of Tarsus. And I pray that God will do it in the mission too. We think of those people who say they will come. And I hope they will. I pray that they will. And some people have promised you that they'll come. And we know that they will come with no thought of getting right with God and being saved. And yet God can step into their life suddenly. He did it with Saul of Tarsus. For God works like this. And when the day of Pentecost came and the Spirit of God was poured forth, it happened in a sudden fashion, unexpectedly. He not only came suddenly, he came unmistakably. There was no mistaking that something wonderful and marvelous had happened, that the Spirit of God had come. Because this verse tells us that suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There's a sound here, we're told, of a rushing mighty wind. And literally this could read, as of a violent blast borne along, rushing along like a tempest. Such a wind is sometimes borne along so violently and with such a noise, it makes it difficult even to hear the thunder in the gale. And such appears to have been the sound of this remarkable phenomenon. It does not appear that there was any wind, but the sudden sound was like such a sweeping tempest. And this was certainly unusual. It probably has a connection with the fact that both in the Hebrew and the Greek languages, the word spirit is the same as the word breath or wind. And here the sound from heaven was the sound of the Holy Spirit rushing into this house and being poured upon these disciples. There was no mistake about it. That's the point I want to make. And my friends, when the Holy Spirit visits a place and visits a people, there will be no doubt whatsoever about it. We may not hear the sound of a rushing mighty wind, but his visitation will be no less remarkable. We will be able to sing with greater truth and reality. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Father's promise given. When God visited Porto Voghe on the 9th of the 9th, 1990, there was no mistake that God had come down. And I know there are those here, Dr. Kearns, you can remember prior to that, a visitation of God away in the early days. No mistake at that mission when God came down. But the 9th of the 9th, 1990 stands out in my mind because I was there. It was a Sunday afternoon. Dr. Paisley was the preacher. He wrote himself in the Revivalist about this breath of God coming down. He told of how the meeting was just an ordinary meeting until about 10 minutes before the end, when suddenly the Spirit of God seemed to come down and fill him with an unusual anointing. And when he came to the end of the meeting, there were those who were greatly troubled about their soul. And without going into all the details, that afternoon, one by one, men and women were being saved. 5 of them were converted that day. And then thereafter, for the next number of weeks, God was still coming down and God was moving in a marvelous way. And he had written in the Revivalist about the Spirit of God coming down. And the following month, I wrote another article about God coming down. And in that short few days, 18 people were converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no mistake whatsoever about it, that the Lord had come in a marvelous way. And we can say the same about missions that have been held here on this site, if not in this building, but on this site. And I was just glancing through the little history book that Karen put together for the church some years ago. And there is a section, there's a chapter there, Memorable Missions. And it begins with the 1976 mission when the Reverend Elliot was here preaching the gospel. And God visited the town. And even the ungodly testified to the uniqueness of what was happening and what God was doing. And there's other missions too that is recorded there concerning those visitations. When the Spirit of God came down, there was no mistake whatsoever that he had visited. And we can say the same about Uganda in July. We can't account for it in any other way, but the Spirit of God came down when those 100 children at different times during the week professed faith in Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the same report was given during our mission? How we need to pray in these days. And I say to you again, remember all the prayer meetings that will be held in connection with this mission. Don't be an absentee where possible, because the Holy Spirit comes in answer to the fervent, united, earnest prayers of God's people. He came suddenly. He came unmistakably. He came profusely. There was this pouring out of the Spirit of God. You take this second verse again. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, the whole upper room. Indeed, we have to say, because the Scripture says, the whole house was filled with this sound from heaven, the rushing mighty wind. It pervaded every part of the atmosphere in that place where prayer had been offered for 10 days by these men and women who were united in love and praying over the promise of the Father. The Spirit of God not only filled the building, but more importantly, filled the people, as we shall now see. Because not only do we have the descent of the Spirit, we have the result of the Spirit. The first thing is, all the believers were filled with this power. You want to notice it there in verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Every one of them, without exception. The leadership of the church who were here in the prayer meeting, the 11 disciples' names are given. And not only the leadership of the church, these men, but the women who we have already told you love the Lord. These women were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary, she was at the prayer meeting. His blessed mother, she was filled with the Spirit of God. And his half-brothers, his brethren that were there, 120 of them all together. No wonder great and mighty things were done. As this congregation of Spirit-filled men and women went out into the streets of the city of Jerusalem to preach and to witness. Remember, the Lord says, "When after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses." They went out to preach and they went out to witness. You can imagine the impact. Church of Christ, this group of 120, ablaze for God. Not just one of them anointed and filled, but the whole assembly of the people set on fire with the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses for Christ. You know, my friends, God can do marvelous things through one man or one woman that is filled with the Holy Spirit. What can he not do with 120? But even just one man. Perhaps the line most frequently attributed to D.L. Moody is the famous quotation, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him. By God's help, I aim to be that man." Moody did not originate that line. It was actually his friend, Henry Varley, a British preacher who had spoken these words in private communication to Moody. Moody, the world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully consecrated to him. Moody was deeply impressed by these words. He later went to a meeting where Charles Spurgeon was speaking. And in that meeting, Moody recalled the words of his friend. The world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully consecrated to him. And he thought, Varley meant any man. He didn't say that he had to be educated or brilliant or anything else, just a man. And then suddenly up there in the gallery where Moody was sitting, he saw something that he didn't realize before. It was not Mr. Spurgeon, after all, that was doing the work. And God was using Mr. Spurgeon in London in a mighty way. But this thought came to him. It was not Mr. Spurgeon. It was God that was doing the work. And if God could use Mr. Spurgeon, why should he not use the rest of us? And why should we all not just lay ourselves at the Master's feet? Ah, said Moody, those were the words sent to my soul through you, referring to Varley, from the living God. And Moody cried out in his soul, by the grace of God, I will be that man. And Moody went forward, as you know, to receive a special anointing of the Spirit of God, which transformed his ministry. And God did extraordinary things through an ordinary man. He went forth to preach the gospel with this mighty anointing of God, and now thousands of people were being converted to Christ. He founded a Bible Institute that trained men and women and sent them across the world to preach the gospel. My friends, if God can do that with one man consecrated to God and filled with the Spirit, what can he not do with 120? What did he not do with 120 from the day of Pentecost onwards? Some of them became great preachers, like Peter and the other disciples. Some of them went forth to win thousands to Christ. Others undoubtedly became witnesses unto Christ. As the Lord said, you'll be my witnesses in the city, in the community, in the streets, in their homes, in their employments. And there must have been great prayer warriors among them that continued in the intercessory work, calling upon God to come down in mighty power. Mary, the mother of John Mark, obtained this same infilling, and she opened her home to a prayer meeting, as we know in Acts chapter 12. What may God be pleased to do for us if the Spirit came and he filled every believer that attended the prayer meeting? Don't know how many believers were there in the tent on Friday night. We had nights of prayer this week. But if God just came down and he filled those men and women and young people, maybe 80, 90 or so gathered in the prayer meeting, what would happen? A God-anointed preacher, trust that'll be so. Spirit-filled elders and deacons, members transformed by the mighty power of God to become some of the most powerful witnesses for Christ that this town has ever known. Men and women with a Spirit-filled prayer ministry. God can do these things. All the believers were filled with power. And on this occasion, you'll notice that a gift to speak in other languages was given. Look at it again. In verses 4 and 5, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. I'm not going to say much about this as it doesn't concern us so much for now. I think that the people in Ballymoney at the tent will understand my dialect. But on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were given the ability to speak in other languages. Not some kind of gibberish, indiscernible tongue, but actual understandable languages, so that those from the various nations could understand the gospel. In verse 6 onwards, the multitude came together. They were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how do we hear every man in his own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues, in our own languages, the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? These men could not by themselves speak even one language properly. The Galilean dialect was a base degeneration of the true Jewish tongue, so that Galileans were always the subject of the sneers and the scoffings of the people due to their mispronunciation. And yet these men had now been taught to speak their own language perfectly, and what was more, marvelous languages that they had never heard before came pouring forth from their lips with the greatest of fluency. Men understood perfectly what they said. And then you'll notice quickly that there was a large congregation gathered. In verse 6 there we read, this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. A massive audience was given to these men for the preaching of the gospel. The crowds came in their thousands. They must have been there in their thousands. If 3,000 in the morning and likely 5,000 at night were saved, stands to reason there were many other thousands besides who were not converted. Thousands of people gathered. When the Spirit comes in such a way, we will never lack an audience. Crowds will flock to hear the preaching of the word. Buildings will be crowded. All the seats will be filled. Here and at the tent too. That's what happened in days of revival. We quoted to you what happened in the Welsh revival. The churches were so crowded that multitudes couldn't get in. And that's at a time when there was low church attendance, hardly anybody going to church, and now God had moved. I remember the first family night that we had. And I think it was the first month that we were here. We came at the beginning of December 1996. It was Sunday the 22nd, I think it was. 22nd of December. It's a good while ago because Chris McLean was dedicated that morning. And then in the evening we had family night in the old building. And I remember well that God did move in a numerical way because people were queued at the door to get in. Took our committee by surprise, really, because they were not expecting so many to come. The aisles were filled. Out in the porch was filled. Every space occupied. And it took a long time to get the people seated. We just had to sing and sing. Meeting started at 7. Was to start at 7. Didn't start till 7:15 until we had got most of the people seated. This is what God can do. Duncan Campbell had just arrived in Lewis, tired and weary with his journey back in 1949. The minister said to him, Mr. Campbell, I know that you're tired from your journey. You've been traveling by train all day and then by ferry, and you just want to get your supper and go to bed. We'll see to that. But I wonder, would you be willing to address a congregation tonight? We've organized a meeting in the church at 9 o'clock, it's on your way home. Would you come and address them? And they arrived at the church at 9:15. There were about 300 people had gathered on that occasion. And so he preached the word to them. And they had a very good meeting. He said it was a good meeting. A sense of the presence of God, a consciousness of the Spirit moving in the midst, but nothing more than that. And so he pronounced the benediction. And they began to leave the church. It was about 11:15. But just as he was walking down the aisle with one of the deacons of the church, the deacon suddenly, looking up to heaven, he cried out, God, you cannot fail. You cannot fail us. You promised to pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon dry ground. Oh God, you cannot fail us. And then he fell to his knees there in the aisle of the church, and he continued praying. The door of the church opened. Blacksmith from the town of Barvis, who had been used of God in the past, he came in and he said, "Mr. Campbell, it has happened. God has come. We have been praying that the Lord would pour water upon the thirsty and floods upon dry ground. God has answered prayer." And when they went to the door of the church, standing outside was a crowd of 600 people. Where had they come from? What had happened? God had come down. 100 of those in the crowd were 100 young people who had been at the dance. They were in the dance for a night of merriment and worldly entertainment. But the fear of God gripped the heart of those young people that the dance finished. The music stopped. And they ran out of the place as if they were running from a terrible plague. And they came up to the church. Other men and women had gone to bed. They got up and they dressed. They walked up to the church at that late hour. The blacksmith said, "Mr. Campbell, I think we should sing." And sing they did. They began to sing one of the Psalms, verse after verse. And all this singing, standing there in the open air. Then they all made their way into the church building. A church that was built with a capacity of over 800, now crammed to capacity. And they had a meeting. It was now 11 o'clock, but the meeting went on and went on and on. The joy of the Lord filled the hearts of those people. And it was 4 o'clock in the morning before the crowd was dismissed and they went home. God had come down. He brought a crowd together. And when God the Holy Spirit comes in such a fashion, we will not be lacking an audience for the preaching of the word either. And then just to close with, there was Holy Ghost preaching. In verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. From verse 14 onwards, we learn Peter especially, standing up in the midst of the others, began to preach. Christ was presented especially in his crucifixion, resurrection, and exaltation. These are the great truths that are at the heart of the gospel. And this is the message of this book. And spirit-filled men will ever seek to elevate Jesus Christ himself, not the church, not the preacher, not the denomination. He will feel like the Apostle Paul, another spirit-anointed preacher, "For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." So he wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2. It was indeed bold preaching. Peter, who had denied the Lord on the morning of the crucifixion when he was challenged by a few maids, "You were with him. You're a disciple of Christ." I don't know what you're talking about. "I know not the man. I swear I know not the man." Peter, who denied the Lord 3 times over with cursings and swearings, he stands up now. He's a different man. He's a transformed man. He's a man full of the Holy Ghost, and with great boldness, he addresses many of these people. Many of them, of course, had been guilty of putting Jesus to death, and he charges them with it. "You are the murderers of Jesus Christ." Different Peter. And so in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, he says, "You have taken," this is the Lord Jesus, "and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." They were guilty. They were responsible for the death of Christ. Their hands were dripping with the blood of the Savior. And yet Peter, he declares the sovereign and the omnipotent purpose of God in this matter when he says just before that in verse 23, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." May God give us bold preaching. And it will be when it's spirit-anointed preaching. Oh, that God might come to this mission, night by night, and visit us in such a way, as we have read about here in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of God coming down in a mighty way, and these wonderful things happening as a result. We pray that God will do it, that he will give us a people to preach to, and that he will give us the power to do the preaching. Let us pray. Lord, we read history here that is true, history that we know so well, and yet so easy to forget it, and not really to fully appreciate the impact in the city of Jerusalem that this momentous event had when the Spirit of God came down. Oh Lord, you're still the same God, the same Spirit, and the same promise is for today, the promise of the Father. In the last days, the Spirit of God will be poured out. Lord, you promised to pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon dry ground. And Lord, if we're not thirsty, we'll not receive it. And if we're not thirsty today, we pray that you'll make us thirsty. But surely in this company of people, there are those that are thirsty for the mighty doings of God. There are those who detect the dryness of the ground and realize that our hope of survival is in God alone and in the power and manifestation of his Spirit. O Lord, come, descend in such a way, quicken our hearts, make us alive unto the things of God, bring eternal values before us, help us to live in the light of eternity. Help us to be men and women and young people filled with the Spirit. Help us to be taken up with Christ, to go out and be a witness for him, to do what we can under God to promote him among men. Bless the mission. Help us, Lord, to be Spirit-filled in the prayer meetings, in the meetings themselves. Bless this preacher. Give me God's anointing night by night. And Lord, we leave the issues with thee. Thou art able to do great and mighty things which we know not. Lord, be pleased to work for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We'll not sing the closing hymn, but it would have been 624. Here in thy name we are gathered. Come and revive us, O Lord. There shall be showers of blessing, thou hast declared in thy word. Oh, that the showers of blessing now on our souls may descend, while at thy footstool of mercy, pleading thy promise, we bend. You think of the words as our sisters play the music. May God bless you as a congregation and bless us all at this time of the mission. Amen.